A few years ago, I was called into a medical device company to help them sort out the huge number of field failures they were getting and having to do repairs and requalify them and send them back out to the field. They were getting customer complaints, and they had a fairly significant number of field returns. And so we talked about a variety of different things, but one of the steps I did was, well, how do you set a goal for your product? And how does that get translated into your design team and through your suppliers? And as I talked to different parts of the organization, they all knew what the overall goal was. And they also then designed to, for their subsystem of the product, designed to meet that system goal. But they left out one step, which was that they were inadvertently making the assumption that all of the other components would be perfect. So if they were trying to get a 95%, I think it was a 95% reliable over, say, 2 years as a part of their goal, when they bought the power supply, those engineers would ask the power supply vendors for a product that would last for 2 years with about a 95% reliable reliability performance. And they actually achieved that. They got a product, and it was a pretty reasonable price, that was good enough to last about 2 years with a reasonable failure rate, not too high. But they did that with each of the components. And they ended up then learning that they left out a step, that just because my component meets the system requirement doesn't mean that in aggregate our systems will create a system that will actually meet our system goal. It doesn't matter how many components meet the, say, 95% goal. If together you want them collectively to be 95% reliable, well, then you left out one of the critical steps, a little bit of math. So let's explore that in a little bit more detail and see how it works. So it's rare that a part works in and of itself, that it's the sole contributor to the performance of the product. There's usually a good number of components within your system or in your, say, your vehicle that all have to work. Could be communication and life support, propulsion, navigation, and so on. Now, if any one of those things fail, and each one of them has a probability of failing, we would consider the system failed. But what's the goal for the life support system? What's the goal for the navigation system? What's the goal for the power supply for the navigation system? It's not just simply the goal for the overall system. That's the aggregate of all of the possible failure mechanisms that are contributing to whether the system works over the duration or not. One way to think of it is that you have, even on a simple product, you may have hundreds, if not thousands, of potential ways that that device can fail or that system can fail. And it's not like there's only one that's actually going to happen. They're all competing to see which one gets to cause the failure. It's not like they have a mind or a sense of accomplishment when they cause a failure or anything like that. But contacts are corroding and increasing in contact resistance. Traces are doing metal migration to some extent, and over time you'll get a wicking nature of it, and a trace will move, fuse open. Silicon devices or the junctions are degrading slowly, and their ability to switch clearly is going to stop performing at some point in time. And capacitors are leaking dielectric, and dielectric solutions are drying up, and they're losing their ability to perform as a capacitor. And on and on and on. They're all working on their own degradation path or on their own crack propagation or creep or whatever it happens to be. But then there's also elements that are just loads and things that suddenly can happen that your system has to have some robustness to and some probability of withstanding. But each and every one of those failure mechanisms has a finite probability every hour of operation. And even if it is rare, it still could be that particular moment you got lucky and it has a failure. So apportionment is taken into account that every component that can cause the system to fail is a contributor to the overall system reliability. Now, the idea is to, if I have like this medical device and they wanted a 95% reliability out over, say, 2 years, and if they had five separate components, what would be the reliability for each of those components that then in aggregate would lead to a system reliability that meets their goal? Now, we'll talk more in detail about modeling of series and parallel systems and complex systems in the next chapter. But the idea here is with the series system, it's pretty simple. And we'll talk about a couple of ways to do the apportionment here in the next few slides. But the idea is that you break, and in one case, I was called into a design team that, where they were arguing over that they didn't have enough information to create an apportionment, to break down the goal. And I think there was some negotiation going on and just hedging on, well, what goal do we need to actually set? But they really didn't have a lot of information. And so we said, well, here's a proposal. Let's take that 95% goal for reliability over your five-year product and do an equal proportionment. Let's just break it down so that every subsystem gets the same reliability. And so in this slide, I'm using 1 year. So if I put each subsystem at 99%, it's 0.99 times, 0.995 times for these five subsystems, and assuming it's a series system, I end up with something about 0.95 or 95%. And at that point, we looked around the room and the power supply person was a bit fidgety and wasn't real comfortable with signing up to a 99% reliability. Historically, they've been running at 97, 98%, not much better than that. So it would be difficult for that team to achieve a 99% reliability. On the other hand, the keyboard team, the keyboard and mouse for the small computer, was smiling. They're like, well, we can make that easy. We can actually reduce the cost for our component and achieve that goal of 99%. Historically, we've been at 5 and 6 nines, and very rare that we have a failure. So at that point, the program manager said, all right, let's change the goal for the keyboard team. Let's make yours 99.99% reliable. How much benefit does that give us to, allowance does that give us to lower the goal for the power supply team? And so they quickly put together a quick spreadsheet. They were working out the math and they were able to find a set of goals that still, when multiplied together for the subsystems, when multiplied together, would still achieve their system goal. But what it did is it, even using this equal apportionment technique, is it immediately started the conversation that allowed them to find an appropriate balance among their different systems. But more importantly, is as the team progressed and as they learned the cost for one system to meet its goal versus another team to change its goal, they were able to balance the cost of achieving the targets with their ability to meet the targets. And so that became a pretty powerful tool as they worked collectively instead of competing for resources, they work together to achieve the reliability goal. Now, ARNIC, and I'm drawing a complete blank what that stands for, but I believe it's an Army military, U.S. military organization, had created and documented an apportionment technique. And there they assumed the constant failure rate. Now, you know how much I like that. But anyway, they, and that was meant to be sarcastic. But if you assume a constant failure rate, you can the math becomes much, much simpler. And so basically, as you estimate the failure rate for each subsystem, and there's different prediction tools, and working with your vendors or from your own field data, you can take your information and estimate what your subsystem failure rate is. And then let's do a weighted proportion based on the estimated failure rates in order to make the overall failure rate. So it may depend on how many, say, engines you have, or how many wheels you have, or how many pumps are in the system. And so depending on how many components are available in those various elements and what their particular failure rate is, then I can allocate based on proportion of contribution to the overall system what its particular goal should be. So that's a high level what that is. And I'll try to work out a couple of worked out examples of using these various techniques. So do you really need to do apportionment? Yes. I think from my own experience, this team was having, so they had, I think it was five subsystems, actually it was five subsystems, and each achieved the 0.95 reliability. Now, if you multiply, maybe it was seven systems. I'd have to look it up. But it worked out that as each subsystem achieved their goal, which was inadvertently known as the system goal, they, when you multiply them out, you got about a 50% failure per year, failure rate per year, or the probability of surviving a year was relatively low, about 50%. And their actual field data was within about 3 points of that. So the design team, it was actually pretty efficient at achieving the goals that they thought they were trying to achieve, or that they knew they were trying to achieve. It just was that it, without the apportionment part, when they combined their various subsystems into a product, the math and its actual performance showed that you really do need to adjust your subsystem goals in order for your overall system to meet its system goal for reliability. So yes, it is necessary. And it's a good way to make sure that your team can also talk across the table as they balance the needs to meet the reliability goal with cost or time to market or functionality or the other priorities that are being placed on the team. In the next section, we'll introduce the parts and system management, the second segment of the design and development part of the body of knowledge.